Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
As always, guys, check in all three channels, Evolutionary, EE Arts, and Hearts Home, and make sure you guys are subscribed. Hopefully, you get some notifications. You know, one of the things that we've been saying forever is you got to work to get out of the system if you want to stay free, so to speak, or actually, you know, stay free is a misnomer. Boy, yeah, if we want to achieve freedom in our lifetimes, perhaps. But then it's all a state of mind, is it not? It is all a state of mind. You know, one of the things we've gotten is that you have to kind of use the system to get out of the system. So what do we do in these times when we see all this chaos? UBS to buy CS for $2 billion, S&B offers $100 billion liquidity, authorities force bypass shareholder vote. So we're talking about the Credit Suisse situation. As you know, just Credit Suisse is a big canary in the coal mine, so to speak. And, you know, to see that go under. Of course, now, what we've seen is how the rules are no longer applicable in regards to everything. Like, you know, you used to have to basically have Congress vote here in the U.S. to declare war, but now they just don't declare war. They just go in wherever they want. This has been going on for decades, right? This is just part of the big realization. And, you know, same thing with bailouts. Now they just, you know, certain banks will bail out others whenever they want to. We're seeing that without even any sort of oversight by even governments, when you really get down to it. This is part of the big reveal in that, yeah, honestly, in this world, corporations have more power than countries. They really do. I think this is part of the illusion that's going to go away as we move into like the next step with things. The true power structure will start to reveal itself more and more.
Seems like they're able to simply, you know, change the rules whenever they want. I think a little while ago, maybe even just a few years ago, they might have made some attempt to put it through something so it could be voted on, but no, not anymore. They're just, you know, you can watch them. They're just changing rules as they go.
Absolutely. You know, I've had an inherent dislike and disgust, honestly, for our financial situation, our financial system. And, you know, somebody had said when we were talking about the fracking going on, how the fracking can affect people's health and the environment's health in a negative way. Say, well, you use a car, don't you? You know, we are. I mean, we are still using a gas-powered vehicle. Yeah, we still use petroleum products. We're not where we want to be yet. And part of the reason why we're not where we want to be yet is because we still have work to do with awakening people. And, you know, at a certain time when things are broken down to a certain level, we understand that, you know, what we're doing now will be the past, and we'll just be working with those locally when things break down to a certain degree, and then it's back to that, back to the old ways in so many ways. Now, that could be a ways off. I mean, that could still be a quite a ways off.
Right. Well, you know, the whole point is when you know better, you do better. If you're someone who might be sleeping and you're unaware of all of the effects that modern technologies can do, once you are aware, you make changes where you can. You might be in a situation where you can't change things at the snap of a finger, but this is how growth occurs. We learn things, we understand things, and we move and shift and change things for the better.
Yeah, and we go from point A to point B to point C, point D, you know, on down the line, step by step, as we can. So obviously, you know, we might want to not have anything to do with the power structure on the planet. But at this point in time, almost everybody certainly in this country and in the NATO countries that we're really kind of primarily addressing, but, you know, also all across the globe, as we do have family members that are in the BRICS countries. You know, interestingly enough, we were at like 3% of our viewership on Heart's Home is from India, and we've had many people contact us from, oh gosh, from places like Singapore and Taiwan and Thailand and many countries all over the world. Africa, lots of African nations as well, all over the world. We are a global society, absolutely, and we are globally controlled to a degree by the monetary system. Yeah, you know, maybe those tribes in the Amazonian rainforest and in Australia, the Aborigines and others, again, there could be some, you know, and there are some that are just living off the land, with the land, totally the way that we would have to go back dozens of generations, if not longer, you know, to find. To, you know, again, with most people, again, it's everybody has a unique heritage and a unique path. But what I'm trying to get at is, again, we're trying to take these baby steps, because, you know, massive change, unless you inherit a large amount of money and can go buy yourself a little private island somewhere, it's going to be tough. And so how does the average person work to secure themselves in this time so they don't lose everything that they've worked for? And you know, how can you prepare for the rough turbulence ahead? As we're going to see, you know, we're going to see a lot of shakiness, a lot of stormy weather. Obviously, the move to the CBDCs, to move ultimately to one global digital currency, we understand where this is going. And even though we understand it, it's like watching a slow-moving train wreck. So how can we keep ourselves safe is basically what we want to talk about. You see, there was this study that was authored by four academics in the know, so to speak, with the economic situation globally, and they said like 186 banks are at risk for the same fate as Silicon Valley. At what point do people lose all? And yeah, I was listening this morning to All Financial Talk, which is stuff that I don't usually like to listen to. I'd much rather listen to some beautiful music or something like that. And instead, yeah, we're listening to the finance, and it's at that point where the world is waking up to the fact that we're at that cliff, and that cliff is disintegrating below our feet. Do we jump straight back? Do we go a little to the left, a little bit to the right? How do we handle this situation? Do you need to spread your legs farther apart and root? Or are you prepared to bolt for the hills, so to speak? What do we do?
Well, we got to look at our situation regardless of where we're at, and we have to determine what's going to help. You know, it's definitely not going to help if we sit here and cut each other down. But if we throw ideas out there about how are you making baby steps to get out of the system, and just share that knowledge and information. Again, we're focusing on the solution. Therefore, the solution gets much bigger. It doesn't do us any good to sit there and look behind and say, well, you know, this is this and that's that. That's not helpful. So just staying in that heart-centered space where you're able to be of service with your words or with your deeds is how we're going to get out of this together.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I think everybody at this point in time should hopefully have a little bit of food stashed away, have some backstock, again, of if we lose the grid, if we can't go out, if there's a natural disaster, if all of a sudden war's around us, you got to give yourself a little cushion, because, you know, again, there will be desperate people in desperate times. And this is one of the other things to realize too, that when people get hungry, they tend to get desperate. If they have hungry kids, they get even more desperate. if they are feeding negative habits, they can be downright dangerous, again, with addictions and all. So obviously, you know, having yourself diversified in different ways, again, basic necessities of life, having a backstock of that, I think, is something that we should all have, because we're going to see just this constant roll towards the end of the cliff. And ultimately, again, it's going to be a case of how do I have things of worth and value to even trade? Now, gold, think back. The gold confiscation of 1933. 33. Oh, look at that number. Oh, there's a lot of numbers out there, guys. A lot of numbers with redundancy. 1933. I think that's the year that they made the first King Kong movie. No, I remember as a kid, that was my favorite movie, but I hated it when they killed King Kong. Ah, yes. But Executive Order 6102, very dark and evil thing, was it not? It forbade the hoarding of gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates by American citizens. It's the Gold Confiscation Act. This was done by FDR. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, growing up with my mother, who was an avid historian, and also, yes, she was completely Democratic. You know, I grew up in a Democratic household. And, you know, and then I moved to Republican-leaning states, but I still was never one that believed in the system per se. FDR was truly beloved by many, many people, even though he did this. They confiscated the gold. Confiscated the gold. You could have been fined or you could have been sent to prison for 10 years. This is, you know, this might sound like insanity to us now, but again, the Great Depression was scary, and people found they couldn't get their money out of the banks. There was no money. What did the banks do with them? Well, they do what they do. They invest. A lot of times investments don't work out. Then there's no money. It is almost like legal thievery in so many ways. I can't not go without saying that it feels to me like the monetary system itself is really a legal form of thievery in many instances.
Well, look at what happened to the indigenous people here in these lands. You know, certain people came by and, you know, they offered them trade and, you know, crappy paper dollar bills and trade for their absolutely gorgeous, perfect, wonderful land that has obviously made it lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. The land that they sat on, it just continued to reproduce. You couldn't burn it like you could burn money. You know, you couldn't destroy it with water. You couldn't do things to land that you could do to money to destroy. And they, you know, wanted this trade with money for their land. And many of the indigenous said, no, I'm not going to do that. For obvious reasons. What good is your money? You know, what good is it? And so they didn't, the other ones didn't take no for an answer, and they continued to press their argument until these indigenous peoples were booted out of their land. So they have ways of being very forceful and very unfair when they don't get what they want.
So U.S. citizens were given until May 1st of 1933 to turn in all their gold. In exchange, they would be compensated $20.67 per ounce. Yes, things have gone up a lot. And as we've gone through the time period, and that was 90 years ago, right? But think about the investment. Can you imagine if you had an aunt or an uncle that didn't, you know, do that? Say they had, you know, some gold and they left it to you now. Can you imagine how instantly you could be so wealthy if that was the case? As you look at gold trading at $1,989 an ounce. The U.S. government 90 years ago, due to Executive Order 6102, would pay you $20.67 an ounce. That's a hell of a profit, and that's hell of a growth. You know, again, this is, you know, legal slavery. This is legal economic slavery, legal thievery on the side of really who are the government. Who is the government when you get down to it? The government is really run by the corporations, which the corporations are controlled by select families and groups. You know, this is all part of the bigger picture. Silver, 2291. This is the poor man's option. And I would most definitely have some silver, you know, bury it somewhere in the backyard, you know, put it somewhere safe. It should, I would think, it should go up from where it's at. In fact, it feels like it's at a very artificially low point. It really feels artificially low. And, you know, that's just me. You know, silver has a lot of actual uses. About 14% of the silver in the world is used in jewelry and silverware. And now I remember, you know, those type of things. Like my old aunts and my aunts, when they passed on, you know, they had left some silverware and things like that. I think, you know, there are people that have inherited silver rings, silver jewelry, of course. But, you know, when you look at it, that's not the main use. That's only 14% of the use. As you see this quote, the major monetary metal in history is silver and not gold. You know, silver has so many uses. And when you look at, well, who has the most silver? Actually, there is a lot of silver out there in the general public. As, you know, the number one owner of silver worldwide is actually all the little guys. But we do see that there are also big companies and big banks that do have silver. And I saw JP Morgan Chase, number three. Of course, a lot of companies like BlackRock are in there as well, as we understand the bigger thing with BlackRock and Vanguard. And again, property too, having paid for property. And, you know, so much of the carbon credit system is going to be based on how much land you actually owned. And that's part of why Gil Bates was buying up a ton of land, as well as, you know, the fact of hanging on to areas where you can produce or keep from being produced food. Silver's biggest use is industrial, 56% of it. Electronics, batteries, biocides, solar panels, and things like missiles. That was something I didn't realize, that there was a large amount of silver actually used in some of our missiles nowadays. It also is very electrically conductive, and they used to, and I guess in some places they still use it for tooth fillings as well. Reflective, it's actually also used in cloud seeding. Whoa, to, you know, add precipitation. You know, we are heading into a period where we are going to have to face rationing as well. So be aware of that, because in the past, there have been allowances. And in some parts of the world right now, there's rationing going on in many countries right now. Bacon and ham. This was the typical weekly food ration for an adult. You're allowed 4 ounces of bacon and ham. Other meat, value of 1 shilling and 2 pence. Butter, 2 ounces. Cheese, 2 ounces. Margarine, 4 ounces. Cooking fat, 4 ounces. Milk, 3 pints. Sugar, 8 ounces. Preserves, tea, eggs. One fresh egg. Weekly. That's what you are allowed. Doesn't it feel like we're heading back to all that? Yeah, because, you know, again, they're working us straight towards that WW#3. Grow more, can more in 44. Aha. How history repeats itself. Sacrificing for the common good. Rationing in World War II. Oh, doing your duty. Sacrifice for your country. Yeah, August 28th, 1941. President Roosevelt's Executive Order 8875 created the Office of Price Administration, the OPA. Their main responsibility was to place a ceiling on the prices of most goods and to limit consumption by rationing. Yes, and you get your little ration cards. Now it'll all be digital. Wait a minute, sorry. You had 3 eggs already this month. No more for you. But we understand that those at the top won't be part of this. When we look to the biggest banks and the way things are going, number one biggest bank in the world is the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. As you look at that asset portfolio of over $5 trillion, almost $6 trillion, that is the number one bank in the world. And the number two bank of the world is China Construction Bank Corporation. $5 trillion, right? Agriculture Bank of China is number three. Do we see a trend here? Number four, the Bank of China Limited. The top four banks in the world are all centered in China. The financial system of the world is already centered in China. Then number five, we have JP Morgan Chase. Number six, Bank of America. Number seven, Mitsubishi Financial Group. HSBC, number 8. Number 9, BNP Paribas. And number 10, Credit Agricole. As you see here, this is showing market capital. Banking groups by market value. So if we look at it that way, then we have JP Morgan Chase 1, Bank of America 2, ICBC is then 3, and China Merchants Bank 4, with Wells Fargo 5, China Construction Bank 6, and then you have Morgan Stanley, Agricultural Bank of China, and HSBC, finally Royal Bank of Canada, rounding out the top 10. We could see the writing on the picture. One of the things that we wanted to also touch on is the awesome healing power of silver. As you know, Cindy and I, we don't use antibiotics. I haven't used antibiotics in decades, or probably over 25 years now. And you know, I personally do not believe in getting a sniffle and going to the doctor and getting prescribed an antibiotic, because it scorches everything, good, bad, and indifferent. Instead, I would use colloidal silver if I had to, or nano silver. And you know, it's even been a long time since we've done that, as I really don't get sniffles or colds. But it's if we focus on building our immune system, that's what we should focus on instead of scorching things. And again, when we look at the word antibiotic, it's anti-life. Instead, why not try to build the immune system, strengthen our immune system? And we could do that in many different ways, which you know, you can find so many different videos out there. We've touched on it too. Part of it, just having a daily meditative body, mind, breath practice, whether it's yoga, qigong, tai chi, meditation of some sort. Moving meditations often easier for people that have what we would call a monkey mind. So yoga, tai chi, qigong, where you're trying to focus on your breath and motion, can be very, very beneficial for lowering stress. You want to get out of the fight and flight side. Again, you have an on-off switch when it comes to our nervous system, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. It's you're either in rest and digest, which will allow your body to rebuild itself, and you're producing serotonin and melatonin, or you're in the fight and flight and you're producing cortisol and your body's breaking down and stressing itself. These times are very stressful, so I would definitely try that body mind breath practice and prioritize it.
You know, and sometimes there's things that might occur in your life that are completely out of your control. You might find yourself sick, and that happens. I mean, we don't have control over everything. Look at the soil in certain areas of the United States. something like that could really throw even the healthiest person for a loop, and you might need some extra help. I really do not scorched earth thing that it does inside your body. If your life is in danger and that's the only option you have and you can't get to any nano silver or colloidal silver, do what you need to do to save your life. But at least as you're going into this situation, know the risks, know the dangers, and do everything you can to avoid those antibiotics. Silver is a great way, and I think it would probably help most situations when it comes to infections. Now, our dear family member Terry had a strange ear infection, and she realized that just a few drops of onion juice, I think she might have done it anywhere between 1 and 3 days, I don't exactly remember, it cleared up the ear infection. So there are other alternatives out there. Just so you know, make sure you know your options.
Absolutely. You know, so silver is very, very, the healing properties are truly amazing. So besides the fact that it might be a good investment for you, it can actually be used in healing. If you just add a little electrical charge and you have a little water, there you go. You know, you're going to have a potent healing agent. And, you know, we, neither Cindy or I, are blue. And we've taken a decent amount of silver over the course of our lives, never turned blue. Again, you know, is it possible? I have my doubts. I mean, there are some people that it's supposed to have happened to, but as many people as we know that have used it and don't use antibiotics, we don't know anybody that's blue besides maybe Krishna. But it is antibacterial, it is antimicrobial, and it's been used throughout the ages. I mean, again, this is one of those things that's been used for thousands of years before you had the mad scientists doing their thing out in the open. But again, yes, there's always been those mad scientists from other places. So we wanted to share those things with you guys, and here's 10 silver uses and benefits backed by science. Destroys antibacterial bacteria in the body. The mineral silver has the amazing ability to fight and destroy antibiotic-resistant superpathogens. Silver can actually kill over 650 different bacteria, fungi, parasites, molds, etc. Heals wounds and skin conditions, absolutely prevents and kills viruses, anti-inflammatory, treats and prevents sinus infections, can also help with allergies, treats and prevents common colds and flu, treats and fights against bronchitis and pneumonia, purifies water using 2 drops of silver with a potency of over 30 parts per million, can purify 1 gallon of water, according to a recent study at UCLA, and also can help with MRSA, better than antibiotic, and it doesn't wreak havoc on your immune system. So much of today's cures causes multiple other problems. That's just the way it is. So again, diversifying, you know, maybe having more than one while we're in the system, you know, maybe splitting up so that you're not invested in one bank, you know, be your own bank too, by having, you know, things in secure locations that are going to be of value when we're trading. And of course, you know, food will be of value. Silver will be of value for more purposes than one. Do you have the ability to make your own colloidal silver, you know, as that is something that Cindy's done for years and years. As you look at these guys having fun, get out and exercise too. We gotta keep busy with, you know, keeping that body going. And, you know, the way I look at it too is we are in for this marathon long haul. Nothing's going back to normal, as we've said. And the road ahead is going to be one that's going to take a lot of effort and energy. So we have to strengthen ourselves as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And this is absolute just pure fun what these puppies are doing. That's another thing that can really raise the immune system. And that's why, you know, when you see these cute puppies, kittens, dogs, geese, whatever we show here, that's actually raising your immune system. It's pulling you up. It's giving you a boost. And definitely try all of those things. And if you're one, you're going to make your colloidal silver, give yourself a learning curve. It's not always easy. Just do your best. And then you have to work with dosing too. Now, I've never known anyone to turn blue. Do I think there's dangers from taking too much? Yes, I do. There's always dangers in taking too much of anything and everything. But there's a lot that silver has to offer. And I'm pretty sure one place that offers it is medicinal foods. So different types of silver for your immune system, and maybe even creams for cuts and things of that nature. So there's alternatives out there. And another thing with medicinal foods, they have a lot of really good articles about natural healing. So dive into there, know that there's alternatives. That's probably the most important thing you can know, is that there's another way to do things.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, you have to click that little part where it opens up everything. But on every single video, you're going to see there's a link, take you right to Heart's Home. There's a link, take you right to EE Arts. And these are links to our Rumble, our Brightian. We have two different bit shoots that we upload to the old one for a while. We couldn't upload to the old one, had to create a new one. This is an Etsy. This is for our dear sister Alicia, that she has some items, jewelry and things that she offers. These are always the links that we have also to whatever articles we're citing. But again, here's the link for medicinal foods. Now let's make sure it's working today. There it is. Yes. See? So you could go into medicinal foods, use coupon code EEA, and it does support the channel as well. You get 10% off. And, you know, just go through their things. They have a lot of new things that they're bringing out. This dentite cavity healing tooth armor. Yeah, you can actually make big changes in your teeth. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I have not had to have a filling since I was 12. You know, so, you know, again, what, well, as a, well, I'd say the biggest thing I did was stop drinking soda. Soda destroys your health, period. To me, you know, soda and alcohol are on a par. Not to, you know, go off on a tangent. But again, if we don't take in the things that are going to rot our body from the inside, we're going to just last a lot longer.
You know, and that's so true when it comes to teeth. You know, I've had my rounds there too, and it turned out most of my problem was in my gut. It was all in my gut. My body was functioning the way it was supposed to. But at one time in my life, I was really in a bad position. I had to go with antibiotics. It was life or death. And I did, and that really messed me up, but I'm still working on fixing the gut. That's what we have to do. I think there's such a huge connection in the solar plexus, the heart chakra. These things go together along with the pineal gland. And if your chakras aren't going right, then you might not be getting the right information that you need to figure out what it is you need to actually heal yourself, and not just treat things with a Band-Aid. Because all the while, if you just slap a Band-Aid on something and maybe just take some ibuprofen for it, guess what? The problem's just getting bigger. It's just getting bigger.
Yeah, as you can see, all the different products, they've actually added a whole bunch of new things, and medicinal mushrooms, lion's mane. Here you have some anti-aging vitamin C serum, cordyceps. That was one of the key things I was taking with overcoming Lyme disease. Again, I felt it 3 weeks after I got bit. I felt like I was 90, and you know, I was only 30, and I just felt horrible. But I didn't go the route of going with the allopathic system. Instead, you know, I went the route of alternative. And gosh, I mean, we know so many people, that are friends of ours, you know, that have overcome even worse things than Lyme disease, like stage 4 cancer, where you're told you only got 3 more months to live. And, you know, our beloved friend Jeff is healthier now than he ever was. It's been like 12 years, I think, since he was diagnosed and told he would be dead in 3 months. And you know what? He isn't dead, and he's doing better than ever, and he's helping other people to overcome. So again, we can overcome. We're born to overcome. And it's really, the whole problem is the system and all the concepts they are always giving us. So we went in a big circle. I just felt like it was time to cover some things that we don't usually cover in depth, which was, you know, navigating the chaos in these times, keeping ourselves healthy. So when we see these bank failures and everything again, you know, try to diversify, maybe have, you know, multiple bank accounts if you're able to. We recognize that what they're going to do is wipe out all the little guys. That's what happened with the plague upon the land, took out so many mom and pops and mid-size businesses, because ultimately, you know, it's the end goal is the corporations and the government are one, and there's only one choice for anything. You know, this is where we are heading. So again, we want to try to stay diversified as much as possible. So, you know, you don't have all your eggs in one basket. That basket gets knocked over, you're not just going to starve to death. You know, tangible things. Gold is out of reach for I'd say the majority of people at almost $2,000 an ounce. Hey, the government took it away from us and gave us $20 an ounce. Now it's worth $2,000 an ounce. This is how things work. Silver, you know, I think everybody should have at least a little silver. It's going to be worth something. And then even just the medicinal and jewelry and trade, you know, I don't think you could go wrong. And, you know, I think it's undervalued too. If you look at all time, this is the all time chart, you could see going back $3.67 an ounce here in 94, $5.61 an ounce. Then we had a peak over here, $36.27 an ounce. And today we're sitting at $22.91 an ounce. But we see it in solar panels, we see it in weaponry, we see it in all sorts of electronics and circuitry. I just don't see how it could be heading down. But, you know, again, they could do anything they want. They manipulate and control markets. They manipulate and control everything. So, you know, I'll always caveat emptor, buyer beware. But at the same time, it feels like it's something that would be worthwhile, at least in a small amount. Again, think barter and trade. Food, obviously, always going to be something you could barter and trade.
Yes, most definitely. Food, books, matches, there's all kinds of stuff to have on hand that we need and we could also use to barter and trade. I think that's about it. Are we done? Thank you so much for all of your guys's help in every way, shape, or form on Ko-Fi, on Patreon. We definitely appreciate it during these times. It's difficult, and you guys make it easier. Source bless and namaste.
Namaste.